It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're standing by for Secretary Hillary Clinton to speak. The podium's getting great ratings on CNN. It's just the podium. They have completely moved all the pundits to the side, and half of the screen is the podium. And it's, she, you know, Secretary Clinton has not been on stage now for 45 minutes of this podium. So great ratings. The podium wins. All right. Well, I've been excited for this segment for the past few weeks. I found some spirituality when it comes to gardening. I don't know what it is, but there's something about picking, planting, and maintaining flowers that's just, you know what, that I'm finding good for the soul. Jen Miller may run, but I think I may plant. And yet, I'm perplexed at these things we call plants. One day they're beautiful, the next, they're like a droopy, dried up thing that is no longer what I bought. And then I realize I contemplate my own mortality, and I recognize that maybe I'm not a good parent. Like everything about, maybe it's me. Maybe the problem's me. And then I'm like, no, maybe it's this soil. Or maybe it's the plant. I find myself blaming everybody. And I know I'm not alone. It's that time of year for Chicagoans to be obsessed with flowers and gardens. So to help me and others like me, the Chicago Botanic Gardens' Jacob Burns is here. He's a curator of perennials, and he's here to answer questions and dish out advice. Jacob, thanks for being here, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I hope that I don't sound too whiny and completely freakish about this. But, I mean, I'm new to the game. I've never really had a green thumb before. So it's really exciting and kind of nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, when you go into the store, there's so many different options. And you could fail easily if you buy a really needy plant.
Right.
So if you're just starting out, it's really good to get the tried and true ones there.
Okay. So let's talk about that because, you know, let's first talk about where we're at in the cycle because it's June now and May was the big month because when I started doing the planting, it was probably about 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I'm out there, you know, sort of obsessing over what I see. I pop out the front door and I'm like, come on. Come on, plant. I feel like, I guess it's just the Chicago in me that I just feel like I got ripped off. And I know that's not the case. So talk about where's June in the cycle. I mean, is this a planting month? Is this a sit back and relax kind of month? What is June typically like in Chicago?
June is a good month for planting annuals and vegetables. Like, I would highly recommend getting your vegetables in the ground now if you want to have crops throughout the year. Also, it's on the edge of, you know, you want to plant now, but you're getting close to where it's going to get really hot, and you don't want to be planting things when it gets really hot.
Why? What's it just?
Because the whole planting process is a little stressful to the plant, and then it needs water more. With the hot days, it can wilt, and then you're going to have to keep watering it and watering it and watering it. So it's really good in June, too, if you did plant something recently, to keep watering it really well to get it established, because it's only going to get hotter, and then once it gets established, then that's when you can sit back and relax.
So you need some time for it to take.
Yes, exactly. You need time for it to take.
Okay. All right. So June. So let's talk about, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about tonight. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you have questions, concerns, you want some more expert advice from Jacob than me going, what's a plant? they'll work out. 312-981-7200. We're already getting some texts in. You know, my frustration at the beginning of the night was about my hydrangea. I was in a situation where I bought a hydrangea, and I'll go out there and I'll put water, and it looked beautiful. And I come out the next day, and it's shriveled up, and it looks like I did something wrong. And then the next day, it's back to being beautiful. What's going on with this plant?
Is it in the full sun?
It is not. It's in a shaded little area.
Okay. When it's wilting, is it in the middle of the day?
Yes.
Okay. But then it seems to be like,
yeah,
fine, and the leaves are turgid like later in the evening.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it might either be, are you watering it?
That's, yeah, I water. I, okay, mean, occasionally. I mean, it gets enough
do you
water.
Do you check?
Don't how question often, how often
wait,
I water.
How often is,
okay, so I probably do it once a day.
Okay. That's actually really,
yeah,
good.
Maybe, yeah, maybe once every other day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you put it in the ground?
We put it in the ground probably about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
2 weeks ago.
One of the things that could be happening is that because it's newly planted, it could be a little stressed out. And in the heat of the day, when it's the hottest, that's when it's the most stressed. And that's definitely a good time to maybe give it a little more water.
Okay.
And then when you're seeing it looking healthy again, that's when it's probably turning into evening and cooling off. So the heat of the day is when they're the most stressed. So that's why it's really good to really water your plants throughout June, so that when it gets hotter this summer, that you don't have even
okay. So that's a good advice to to get out there when it's at its peak sun and be able to water at that time. Are there different hydrangeas that are better for the skilled gardener?
Yes. So if the one you bought, was it blue or pink?
It's pink.
Yeah. So
a beautiful pink. There's two of them.
They're beautiful, and they're even more beautiful if you live in like the Northeast or something like that. But here we have very cold winters, and all the blue and pink ones, even the ones that they say are really hardy, are not that hardy, at least what we find. The thing about those hydrangeas, that species, is that they bloom on old wood. And so in the winter, we get just enough cold that it kills back some of the buds. And those are the buds it needs to flower. So you end up getting little to no flowers the next year on those pink and blue ones. Yeah.
See, I told the story, I think, sort of kicking the tires. You know, I can't, when I went up to Gethsemane and I was talking to the woman about it, and she was very thoughtful and very knowledgeable. But I turned into like, I was just like, well, what are we talking about on this plant? Like, I was just like the guy, the Chicago guy who felt like, you know, I was really testing her. And she's like, well, this is they usually will bloom 3 years. That's what she said. And I was like, yeah, you know, I go, yeah, okay, well, I'll see about that. Okay, I'll take it. You know what, how much? Okay, I'll take it. So it's to hear this kind of thing is, she said that in this city environment, 2 to 3 years, because she said something that they were 5 year plants plus, but she said, because it's a city environment and depending on your location, 2 to 3 years.
Like that would be the longevity of the plant itself. Oh, interesting. I actually hadn't heard that one before, but
all right. See,
well,
I knew it. It's a whole racket. The whole thing's a racket.
No, I'll admit, even Chicago Botanic Garden had fallen for that spiel too, because we had gotten this certain cultivar of blue hydrangea. We planted it on a huge hillside and thinking it was going to be a huge wow. And no, we get like one or two flowers. It was a huge dud.
Oh, no.
I have no faith in the pink or blue ones around here. You might be able to get away with it if you live like, if you have like a little, what they call a microclimate, where it's like a protected space where maybe like you have a building on one side and maybe another wall on another side. And it has protection in the winter. But I say if you want a hydrangea and you want that same flower effect, given you won't have blue or pink flowers, I think you should just go with the foolproof Annabelle hydrangea. Mm-hmm. They even have one now that is a pink version of the Annabelle.
Oh, okay. 312-981-7200. Jacob Burns is the curator of perennials, and he's here to answer questions and dish out dirt. I just threw that out there. 312-981-7200. They shut the lights off at the Clinton headquarters here because they're going to show a video before she comes out, I guess. But you know what? Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll get Secretary Clinton on and continue to take your questions and calls about gardening. So download. Stay with us. Weeks. All right. So we're going to transfer back to gardening. 312-981-7200. Bob's on the line. We'll talk with you, Bob, right after the news here. So don't go away. But we see that the blue spruce, dead branches. That's never good. I'm not even the gardener. Jacob's the gardener. That's never good. But you know what? We'll let Jacob walk you through it. 312-981-7200. Text or call if you got some questions or need some advice or some help with gardening. It's a download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We are in the middle of one of a segment that has taught me so much. Jacob Burns is in studio with me from the Chicago Botanic Garden. He's a curator of perennials, and he's helping me with my newfound religion, gardening. I got to say, I mean, it's unbelievable to be able to dig up a plot of land and be able to put something in there and then to see it actually do something. So cool. How did I not know about this from before? All right, so we've got some people on the line that have questions. We also have some advice. Also, just got a text who said, why are all the great historical botanists named Jacob? There you go. So you're in good company, Jacob.
That is interesting.
It's like, there you go. All right, let's go to Bob. Bob, you are on with Jacob Burns in Chicago Botanic Garden. What's your issue?
Yeah, I've got a blue spruce in the backyard. It's in the corner of the yard. It's maybe about 20 foot tall. And the top of it is all turning brown, and it doesn't look real good. It used to be pretty healthy. I cut some of the branches off down on the bottom about 3 years ago. And I'm wondering if I did more harm than good with it. And I wonder if there's anything I can do to save it. It looks like it's slowly going away.
All right, Bob. What do you think, Jacob?
Well, with the blue spruce, there has been a canker that's been going around. And I think it's actually a canker mixed with a fungus. It's a combination, both things attacking them. But all over, I'm from Michigan, and all over Michigan, people plant rows of spruce trees to kind of like... long fields kind of block the wind and stuff, and you can see just rows of mature spruce trees dying from, but they're usually dying from the base up. The bottom branches are dying first, and that's been associated with this combination of a canker and a fungus. But with yours dying at the top, I'm not really sure what could cause that right away. But if it is dying from the base, it could be something like that. And the thing that triggers it is having a spruce tree in a place that might not get enough sun or not enough airflow or the soil being too moist. So there can be several factors that can contribute to your spruce tree declining. Is the site shady? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I got rid of him, unfortunately, because it started to break up. So. Okay. But yeah, if you want to call back in and let us know if it's shady, we can answer. Let's go to Marcos. Marcos, you got an issue with your tomato plants. What's the problem?
Yeah, I just planted some tomato plants. I just picked them up at like a local store, and they're getting black spots on them. And I noticed it happened right after heavy rain. And somebody was telling me it might be low magnesium levels. I didn't know how to attack that.
Okay, first off, you know what? We're going to get somebody else for magnesium levels. Maybe we'll get a chemist in here, but Jacob, what you nodded your head on this one.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, especially with the happening right after a rain, a lot of the times when plants get watered overhead, meaning you shower the leaves and the entire plant, it can lead to some, like the humidity and watering overhead, it can lead to a number of things, including black spot. It can lead to powdery mildew. It can lead to a number of things. So when you're watering, I mean, given you can't control the rain, but when you're watering, it is best to water around the base of the plant as opposed to the entire plant.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, I have been watering on over the top now that you mentioned it. So just stick to the base then?
Yeah, try not to water the leaves.
Yep. All right, Marcos, thank you for that. And I would suggest getting a weather machine that you can control the weather. 773 says, disagree about watering in the heat of the day, like steaming your vegetables. On hot days, water early or water late, but yes, water.
Yeah, I agree that you want to water during the morning or the evening, because that's when the water will, you won't waste water. It doesn't evaporate as much when from the sun. But if your plant is sitting there wilting in the middle of the day, it is good to give it water. It needs it.
Well, you mentioned the sort of pests or the what's happening with the canker. What are we looking for when we have those kind of situations for slugs and mildew and pests? Like what should we be aware of as gardeners in this area right now?
Well, right now, like actually just the other day, I had aphids on one of my honeysuckle
vines.
What's
an aphid?
So an aphid is this little tiny, about less than an eighth of an inch. It's a little tiny kind of pear-shaped insect. You can see a couple of antennas sticking out. And they just cluster at the tips of your new growth on your plant. And you can notice them once you start to see the new growth kind of looking distorted, maybe even yellowing. That's when you might want to take a closer look, and you might see a giant population of aphids like I did.
Wow.
And so what I did was to get rid of them. There's a number of ways you can get rid of them. If it's a small population, you can just rub them off, squish them, which is kind of gross. But if it's got a lot of them at the tip of the plant and they're not all over the plant. What I did was I just cut the tip of the new growth off and disposed of it and then picked off the rest of them is what I did. If you don't want to cut any parts of your plant off, what you can do is you could spray the plant with cold water and hopefully dislodge them and maybe even drown them. Or you could make a mixture of dish soap with water and spray that on the plant. They don't like that either. So
yeah, yep. I would think the plants wouldn't like that either.
And the dish soap doesn't affect the plant. I mean, as long as you're not putting a whole bottle in there.
Now I'm thinking I should get out there with the dish soap and like clean it up. You know, make them look good. No buds on the hibiscus. Help! I feed it. I water it. Nothing happens.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if this is an indoor, like a tropical hibiscus where it's outside in the summer but maybe brought inside in the winter.
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, that would be more of a houseplant issue, and it's not flowering. It could be a number of things, not enough light. But if it's getting fertilized, then, you know, that's a good thing. If it's an outdoor hibiscus, if it's a hardy hibiscus, one that actually can live in the ground over the winter, those emerge really late in the year, and they're probably actually just pushing out of the ground now.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think that, oh, my hardy hibiscus died because they didn't see it all through May or June. But no, they emerged really late. So
there you go. So yeah. you either A, are just, it's too early, or B, the plant's dead and you just throw it away. So really you gotta sort of figure that one out.
The other thing is if it's been outside, it's been pretty cool. We haven't had a lot of hot days.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does the weather have an effect on the planting? May was a pretty cool month.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like a tropical plant, if it is a tropical hibiscus, it probably likes those hot days. It needs that warmth, and we haven't had a lot of it.
312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Jacob Burns from the Chicago Botanic Garden. We'll wrap up our segment here on giving advice to Chicago gardeners. If you got advice, question, comment, concern, 312-981-7200. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. We are taking your questions about gardening. The Chicago Botanic Gardens, Jacob Burns is here. He's the curator of perennials. I love it. I'm learning so much. I'm mispronouncing so much. Let's go to Robin. Robin, what's your question? Are you a gardener, Robin?
Well, kind of. A local gardening center has a mountain ash tree. And I've seen them in yards, and I love them. They're beautiful. Do I have to worry about the ash borer?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. So a mountain ash, fortunately, is not even the same genus as an ash tree. So they just happen to call it ash, I think because the leaves are similar. But it's a completely different genus, and the emerald ash borer does not affect it.
Okay, there you go. So that's
wonderful.
That's wonderful. This is the greatest, this is good news.
Yeah.
It's awesome
Thank
to get
you
good
so
news
no
at
problem.
9:50. So that's awesome, Robin. Thank you. Rosemary, you got a question about your poppies.
Yeah, it's getting real leggy. It's done blooming. One is done blooming. One is still blooming. But it gets really, the leaves are laying all over it. And it's a couple years old. Can I cut all those leaves and cut it all down?
Go ahead.
I had the same thing with Daloy. I have beautiful one by the door, and the leaves are real long. Well, then it's starting to lay over on my other plants. It's done blooming. What do I do? Cut it all the way down to the ground, or what?
With the poppy, those actually, once they're finished blooming, those go dormant. So you might start seeing some yellowing on the leaves. That's a natural process. It's going to start going dormant. And I would try to leave the foliage as long as possible, because what the plant is doing is it's going to photosynthesize and store up as much nutrients as it can before it goes back into dormancy to reemerge next year. So if you can wait as long as possible to cut them, that would be great. But if they get pretty yellow and just completely unsightly, you can cut those back.
Okay.
With the daylily, that actually is a pretty tough plant. So if the leaves are too long and floppy, you could cut those all the way to the ground and you'll get a new flush of leaves.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say too, Rosemary. Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, but you don't, you don't know, you know, if you're hurting the plant or not, you know. So the poppies are really, they're really pretty and they're big, you know. But and then, now where's the seed? Now somebody asked me for seeds from that. Is that from that little round thing?
Yeah, you'll have that big seed pod on the top of the stem. And so you'll actually don't want to cut that down because you want that to ripen.
Okay. And and you get the seed from that little pod.
Yeah, once that pod, once you shake it and it starts rattling, then you'll know that you can harvest
those. It's got a rattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Okay.
Thank you, Rosemary.
All right, thank you.
Rosemary could just take that out, put it on the bagel. Right. Okay. So, I'm interested. I had a good point about the. I have a situation in my yard, that I have. And my next door neighbor has a tremendous garden. She's great. And she's done such a good job of creating a landscape that there are rabbits in the area, and those rabbits come over to my yard, Jacob. And they decide to nibble off the side of the hostas,
mm-hmm.
and then also some of the stuff we have in the front area.
Mm-hmm.
Should I kill the rabbit?
Well, wouldn't we all like them to be gone? Yes.
I mean, I feel like it's humane if I catch them with my bare hands. Like, if I'm not going to do any pesticide, I'm not going to do any chemicals, but if I could catch that rabbit with my bare hands, then
you'd feel really proud of yourself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do like to eat up. But I mean, they're not gonna necessarily touch the flowers. Are they not gonna touch?
No,
the
they'll eat anything.
Really?
Yes. Yes. This is coming from experience. They'll eat anything. No, but the only thing I can suggest to really. Besides murdering them, is to.
I've seen Watership Down, so I don't want to do that. I think that was. I don't remember that story specifically, but I know they're rabbits. But go ahead.
There is a product that you can buy. It's also made to repel deer. It is a spray. They call it like Liquid Fence. There's different brands of it. But if you spray that on the plant, it won't taste well, so they will avoid the plant. It doesn't hurt the plant. The only problem is they can get used to it, so it is good to maybe get two different products of that.
Oh, yeah, left and right hand.
And
right.
Change it up every once in a while. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Dave. Let's get Dave in before we wrap here. Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Hey, thanks for the show.
Anything. What do you got?
Question for you. There's supposed to be some new disease that's hitting the general rose population. Do you know anything about it? Or are you able to talk about it a little bit?
All right. Thanks, Dave. You might have stumped our guy here.
Yeah, you did, actually. I'm not a rose expert. So.
Wait a second. You're not a rose? Like, all the flowers, you're mentioning the daylilies and how they work and their whole thing, and you're like, roses don't know it.
That's why.
What's a rose?
Actually, I mean, my answer would be buy a knockout rose because they have so many less diseases.
If I were going to plant roses, I would be obsessed with picking one off all the time to parody The Bachelor to everyone who would walk by and be like, I've got a rose for you. And then I would ruin the plant and be done. And
No, I think 90% of the rose diseases come from watering overhead. I think that one of the things you should really avoid is watering the leaves with roses, or you're going to get powdery mildew or other things like that.
All right, as we wrap up here, let me go through some of the points that you brought up to me via email before we got here. So, so as bulbs and ephemerals go dormant, cut back foliage and dig up and divide. I don't know what any of that means.
Okay, so bulbs are like tulips, daffodils.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Any bulbs are probably mostly done blooming. The spring ephemeral type stuff is mostly done blooming by now. What you're going to see now is like really ugly, kind of like the poppy that the lady was talking about. Ugly foliage laying on the ground. It's an eyesore. But like I said, it's really good to try to let that foliage last as long as possible because you want that plant to be able to reserve enough nutrients to get by till the next year. But what I've seen some people do in the landscape, and I'm not sure how much I don't know whether I like it or not, but people will take like a entire clump of daffodil foliage and they will take it and tie it in a knot and they'll do that to every clump. And then like it conserves space, I guess, so that they can plant other things around them.
Okay.
So that is one way to make it look a little tidier and to keep the foliage intact for as long as possible. I would try to keep it on until it's actually brown. You could cut it when it's starting to yellow, but definitely don't cut it when it's green. Another thing is if you want more, if you want to have additional plants, now when it's going dormant is a good time to dig it up and separate those bulbs. You'll find baby bulbs attached to it that you can move around, make more plants. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Also, you say stake tall flowers to keep them from blowing over in the wind.
Yeah. So right now, people are probably putting out their dahlias, planting sunflowers, stuff that gets really tall eventually. So what you want to do is start staking that now, so that you're not going to get when we get a windy day like we had yesterday, you're not going to get that plant blowing over and stem breaking. So, and tomato cages are always good to have.
We didn't spend much time at all, so you're going to have to come back talking about gardens, about vegetables. Hillary Clinton took our vegetable time. But you have to come back because this was really fun, and I enjoy learning more about gardening, my new religion. Jacob Burns is the curator of perennials at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Thanks to everyone who called in, and thanks for texting in your questions. And Jacob, thanks for being here, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for having me.